It's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight, where listeners like you produce your own program. This airtime is a free service offered to those interested in sharing their knowledge, talent, and passions. This is also a space to audition new programming. Opinions expressed in Open Journal may not reflect the views of the Pacifica Foundation, its staff, board, or volunteers. Information shared on Open Journal should not take the place of appropriate professional consultation. Now it's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight here on KPFT Houston.
Hi, my name's Ken Kenegas. I'm here today on KPFT for Open Journal with my co-hosts Joe Bach and Christine Adams. We are from Healthcare for All Texas. We're a Texas organization affiliated with the Physicians for National Health Program, part of the national movement for improved Medicare for All. Please go to our website and learn more about us at hcfat.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're here today specifically to talk about Medicare. Medicare is the solution, not the problem. In line with that, there is going to be a rally I want to announce right at the get-go. Hands-off Medicare rally this Saturday, July 23rd, at Walter Park Pavilion. That's at 807 Highway 3 North in League City from 5 to 7 p.m. It's in an air-conditioned auditorium, and the speakers will be Sheila Jackson Lee, the president of Healthcare for All Texas. Dr. Peg Nosek will also be speaking. We hope to see you there. The 30th is the 46th anniversary of Medicare. We're going to talk a little bit about the current attacks on Medicare, and as well as Social Security and Medicaid are under attack. And at 9:45, we will take a few calls toward the end. So I'm going to give it over to Christine to do a little introduction here.
Well, thank you, Ken. Medicare is coming under attack as our nation debates the national debt. But the real problem for costs rising in Medicare is the general rising costs of health care. And actually, Medicare is a victim of these rising costs. And it's important for people to know that Medicare funds not only health care for the elderly, but also the disabled. And most people aren't aware that Medicare also funds most medical residencies. So it's funding the training of our future doctors. And it also funds much of the durable equipment that is found in hospitals now. So it is a broader program that funds the infrastructure, so to speak, of our medical healthcare system.
Well, what we want to put forward out there, right now there's a lot of talk about cutting Medicare, that we have to cut these entitlement programs. The real solution to the financial problem in healthcare is actually to improve and expand Medicare to everyone. The problem here is that under our current healthcare system, we have hundreds of private health insurers that do nothing but take money out of the system through adding tremendous amounts of bureaucracy. Of course, they're taking their profit. And of course, they're spending millions of dollars lobbying to keep themselves in their current position. You know, if we were to have a national health program, that right there we would save about $400 billion a year. And we could cover everyone in the country.
I would think that it's also important to note that if the current efforts to push up the age, for example, of eligibility, which you hear in the current debt debate, put the age of eligibility to qualify to get onto Medicare is pushed up to 66 and then 67. You also have to be aware of the discriminatory nature of those kind of actions. That discriminates against the poor, and it discriminates against minorities who are known to be sicker. and therefore will be left out in the environment of the private healthcare sector, who wants nothing to do with them in terms of, yes, please come over to us so that we can insure you the sick and the poor. They've avoided them for a very long time. As a matter of fact, that's how we wound up with Medicare in the first place. It wasn't because the private healthcare insurers back before 1965 were chomping at the bit in order to insure this population. They were largely uninsured, and so Medicare was brought online as a solution to the fact that these were not a largely desirable group to insure in the first place.
And we already have an example of private health insurance being involved in Medicare, and it's actually more expensive. So the Medicare Advantage program, where private insurance companies take on some of the Medicare beneficiaries, it actually costs taxpayers about 20% more per Medicare subscriber to have a private health insurance handle their health care under the Medicare Advantage program. And the administrative costs of the Medicare Advantage program are about 12% compared to traditional Medicare, which is about 3 to 4%. And getting back to Joe's point about raising the eligibility age, that this will actually shift costs to all of the subscribers and also employers. That if you raise the eligibility age to 67, the estimate is that you will increase the out-of-pocket costs for those up through the age of 67 to about $3.7 billion. And employers who will still be employing these 67-year-olds and 66-year-olds, because they will not be able to get private health insurance on the private market as individuals, the employers will be contributing about $4.5 billion to health care. So all these costs are not shifted to an insurance company. They are going back to us, the citizens, these employers, and the subscribers. And it also will increase the cost for the 68 and up age group who are remaining in Medicare. It'll increase the cost of the premium by about 3%, because you won't have the healthier, less expensive 65, 66, and 67-year-olds in the Medicare plan.
I also just want to add on Medicare Advantage that studies have shown that they do not have better outcomes than those people on traditional Medicare. I have some recent experience with that with my parents who were on a Medicare Advantage plan, and that's a set of horror stories. Just want to let you know that you're listening to KPFT. The time is now 9:38. This is Open Journal, and we are members of Healthcare for All Texas. Our program and topic today is Medicare is the solution, not the problem. I think we failed to state earlier that we are going to take some calls after 9:45. Also wanted to let you know that our organization meets here in Houston every month on the second Thursday at 6 p.m. at St. Paul's Methodist Church, which is right across the street from the Museum of Fine Arts on Main. Let's see. A couple other interesting facts about this whole idea of cutting Medicare. Today, a new Wall Street Journal poll came out which showed that 38% of the people in the United States believe that it should even be discussed as part of negotiations that are going on currently regarding budget and debt and so forth. That means the vast majority don't think Medicare should even be on the table at all.
Medicare is currently, as a program itself, in terms of its benefits, which I'm going to make the case here that, in fact, the direction in which we need to go is to expand and improve Medicare. We at Healthcare for All Texas are supporters of the expanded and improved version of Medicare. Medicare itself, as it actually exists right now, in terms of its benefits package, is not one of the better programs. Its benefits package requires that seniors purchase either a gap policy or have 16 15% on average out-of-pocket costs. So it does need to be expanded and improved in terms of, if you think about it, they do a very good job in terms of their administrative overhead, but it needs to be expanded and improved so that it can take in all of the, basically what I call the filet mignon members of our society, which are the easy-to-insure members, those that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and children, too, are relatively low cost. If you include all these people into your Medicare program from birth to death, then you can capture that $400 billion that Ken mentioned earlier that is wasted in terms of administrative costs, and that goes toward insuring all of these people. And people will say, well, look, you're going to cost the government a whole lot more money if you include everyone in our society in this Medicare improved and expanded program. In fact, on average, 90% of people who would be included in this program would pay less in totality than they currently pay per person for their premiums as well as for their out-of-pocket costs. So conceptually, it's a no-brainer. However, politically, it's a non-starter because of a lot of the symbolic hatred as well as the actual hatred that has been attached to Medicare for all these years. So they've also done a study recently at Brown University where researchers found that if you attempt to pass on through Medicare Advantage, all kinds of costs on the front end to your Medicare participants, and these are ideas that are being floated in the current debate. When you do successfully pass that over to seniors through their Medicare Advantage programs, which Christine mentioned earlier, they do have many fewer visits to their physicians. However, in exchange for that, they also have many more hospital stays of longer duration. And what that does overall to Medicare is it increases Medicare's cost. So the kind of idiocy, and I'm using a very kind word, that is involved in suggesting that we should reduce doctor's visits does not take into account its overall effect on the program. It's like pushing into one section of a balloon. It's going to bulge in another section, and it's going to bulge in the hospital cost areas, which is much more expensive. And therefore, it's better to have everyone included in a Medicare for All program so they can go to their physicians as often as they want. Since in the United States, we already have the fewest physician visits per capita of any of the industrialized countries.
And I know people are concerned that providers are not accepting new Medicare patients. However, a more recent study, and people can read this on the PNHP, Physicians for National Health Program blog, but a new study has come out, and that actually physicians are accepting fewer new patients from private plans than not accepting new patients from Medicare. And that's because private health insurance companies are still increasing the administrative burden to physicians' offices. And they are also giving very low reimbursement rates. And so there is actually a false understanding that somehow Medicare is the only program that physicians are not accepting new patients in. But actually they're accepting more new Medicare patients.
I just wanted to point out something historically about Medicare. You know, Joe talked about how raising the Medicare eligibility age would be discriminatory. The thing is that when Medicare came into existence in 1965, it was the biggest move in the history of this country toward reducing disparities in health and income. It was the biggest boost that seniors received to, you know, their longevity and their ability to have dignity in their later years. So, you know,
at that time, Ken, as I recall, roughly around 80% of seniors were not insured. And that's why, again, the government stepped in. You have all this kind of sense that it's just a big government. The government loved getting into the middle of this. But it was because the private sector failed us, and the private sector continues to fail us in this regard, which is why it is indicated by the experiences of people in other countries. National health care services are provided much more cost-effectively when you include the entire population, because then you can control costs through monopsonistic buying power.
And physicians initially opposed Medicare because they were concerned about income. However, their incomes rose by 7% the first year Medicare was enacted.
Okay, well, I just want to let you know again that you're listening to KPFT. My name's Ken Kenegas with Joe Bach and Christine Adams from Healthcare for All Texas, talking about Medicare. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 9:45. Here's a quick look at traffic and weather. There's a two-vehicle accident on 45 northbound at Airport Boulevard. Three frontage road lanes are affected. And there is slow traffic on 45 northbound from Edgebrook to Monroe, where the average speed is 24. And travel time is just over 6 minutes. There's also heavy traffic on 45 Gulf Freeway northbound from Scott to Allen Parkway, where the average speed is 26. Current temperature is 85 with a heat index of 91. Skies are clear. And today's forecast for Harris County is partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers in the morning, increasing to a 40% chance in the afternoon. Today's high will be around 94 and low 77 degrees. Air quality forecast is in the good range. Please stay tuned after today's Community Spotlight for the 420 Drug War News with Dean Becker, followed by Undercurrents with Greg McVicker at 10 o'clock, and then at 11 o'clock, Wide Open Spaces with Rourke. And now back to today's Community Spotlight, which is Medicare is the solution, not the problem.
This is Ken Kenegas with Joe Bach and Christine Adams from Healthcare for All Texas. As promised, we're going to take a few calls. Joe, you're on the air.
Thank you. You know, one of the most important numbers I've seen recently was in a blog on Medicare for All, where this blogger says that the savings could be somewhere between $800 billion and $1 trillion a year, and he breaks it down into five steps, where he talks about reducing the insurance overhead. You know, the difference between like 31% and 3% would represent $200,000 a year. Savings on emergency care would be about $281,000. Lower reimbursement rates to the provider would be about $100,000. Savings in pharmaceutical, going to a case where we're buying at the Canadian or foreign country rates, would be about $100,000. And finally, elimination of Medicare Advantage program would save about $150 billion a year. This is a pretty significant number. I don't know how good the number is or anything else, but it sounds terrific, like a terrific argument. Can you comment on that, please?
Yeah. And the numbers we have usually gone by are the studies that PNHP has produced, showing a number of about $400 billion a year, quite
right.
Substantial. That's your $4 trillion over 10 years that they're talking about in the grand deal. Just as a little aside to that, you know, one issue that I have seen raised in the press recently is getting rid of Medicare Part D, which is the unfunded mandate for, you know, private prescription drugs with no bargaining, and instead going to bargaining for drugs, as you mentioned. According to Joseph Stiglitz, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, that would save $1 trillion right there.
A year or 10 years?
I don't have that in my notes. I'm sorry.
Those are terrific numbers that we need to talk about, though, really.
All right, well, thank you very much for... You're on the air. Hello, Matthew.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Matthew. Oh, we lost Matthew. Oh. Okay, let's try Carolyn. How about you, Carolyn?
I have an issue that I think conservatives should really understand, and it would, to me, speak to the small business owner right now who is struggling so much to try to keep health insurance for their family and for the family of their employees. And in my family, the small businesses that my children are trying to start can't grow because they can't hire another employee and basically pay $12,000 or $14,000 a year on top of a salary to provide insurance. And granted, they pay the taxes, but like someone said earlier, the taxes that would be spent by the small business to provide health insurance would be so much less than this $12,000 to $14,000 that the small business now is trying to, is having to pay. And one of my family members just told me yesterday that they're having to lay off one person because they cannot continue to insure his family. They have a pre-existing condition that just makes it very difficult to keep the insurance for the person. So if everybody who applied for a job in the U.S. had Medicare under their belt, to me, it would just allow many more small businesses to start, small businesses to grow. And everybody keeps saying about job creators, that we have to support the job creators. To me, the biggest support we could give a job creator is to provide the health insurance that their employees need.
Yes, and Carolyn, just to add really quickly, I think it undoes job lock, that phenomena called you can't dare leave your job because you won't ever get more health care insurance.
Absolutely, especially if you have any kind of health issue in your family. You are just stuck.
Thank you very much, Carolyn, for that great call. This is Ken Kenegas, Joe Bach, and Christine Adams with Healthcare for All Texas. You're listening to KPFT. It's 9:51, and we're talking about Medicare. Okay, we're back to the callers. Let's try Matthew. You're on the air. We lost you before.
Oh, it's okay. How you doing? Yeah, I mean, yeah, some good points the callers are making. And yeah, I'm familiar with Healthcare for All Texas. I'm part of the, I'm a member of the Green Party. That's part of the Green Party's platform. It's healthcare, single payer healthcare for all people in the United States. And that's really the only way the country can go. I mean, this even with Obama with this program that he has, it's just another cave into insurance industry to park private profits, and basically, like you said, it's gonna they're gonna expand the retirement age for eligibility for Medicare. That's gonna leave more people out in the cold. If you have a serious condition like me, I would never be able to get that. I've had cancer already once, and I have a problem with my neck. I would never be able to get private insurance. It'd be almost impossible for me. I have to stay, I have to still continue working with the company and hope to make sure the insurance covers me. But I blame what's going on is directly on Democrats and Republicans. It's they're caving into private corporate interests, private insurance industry. That's what the insurance industry wants.
Thank you for that. That's for your story, Matthew. I think it's very important what you said. And at the bottom of that is our health care money is paying the lobbyists of the private health insurance industry to distort whatever reform comes out of Washington. We got time for one more. Yeah, let's try Tag. Tag, you're on the air.
Yeah, I kind of jumped in the middle, but a while back, KPFT had reported that the administrative cost for Medicare, Medicaid through the government was like 5% to 7%, and private insurance is closer to 20% for administrative costs. I don't know how anybody thinks that it could be any cheaper than having the government administer the cost. And the part that really grates me is that when you do have health care through a private insurer, their main thing is to try to limit you from claiming. And so what happens is that the people that get stuck are the doctors and the hospitals who really are entitled to the money. I mean, and so the whole system as it is now, in my mind, really it does not work very well. So that's why I think government should do 100% health care. So with that, I'll go. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much for that call, Tad.
Well, it's true that our system is unsustainable. The Kaiser Family Foundation did a study, and they are predicting that if the inflation of health insurance premiums continues at its current rate, by the year 2025, the average insurance premium per year will equal the average family household income. And so that's obviously unsustainable.
Absolutely. We're getting near the end of our time here. Want to just let you know again about the rally this Saturday, July 23rd at Walter Park Pavilion, 807 Highway 3 North in League City. Between 5 and 7, it's in an air-conditioned auditorium. Come out and show your support to save Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And you can get in touch with us through our website at hcfat.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And, oh, I guess we've got another minute or so. Well, I just wanted to get that in.
Well, let me also address another issue that is a concern in our healthcare system, which is malpractice. And actually, malpractice rates drop dramatically when you have a single-payer system because that's the biggest expense in a malpractice lawsuit.
And you also get the opportunity to start negotiating fairly with Big Pharma in terms of the government negotiating with Big Pharma. I'd say that's more of an equal footing in terms of being able to get the appropriate costs for our medications for everyone.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for listening. We hope to be back and talk to you again sometime soon. Thank you very much. Bye.
Been listening to Open Journal, KPFT's experiment in community-inspired radio. Since 1970, KPFT has been a unique source on the Houston airwaves. Visit kpft.org to support this station. KPFT listener members are welcome to produce an Open Journal. Prospective producers must fill out an Open Journal request form, which is available at our website. The program director welcomes your feedback on every Open Journal. Listener feedback helps KPFT determine what Open Journals are appreciated by the community at large. To get in touch with the program director, send an email to pd@kpft.org or call 713-526-4000, extension 308. Please stay tuned for Undercurrents coming up at 10, followed by Wide Open Spaces at 11. And thank you for tuning in today to Open Journal here on 90.1 KPFT Houston, Radio for Peace.
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following is courtesy CNN. The Speaker, former governor of New Mexico, Republican candidate for president, Gary Johnson. The following is courtesy CNN. The Speaker, former governor of New Mexico, Republican candidate for president, Gary Johnson.
If you look at the only two countries in the world, Portugal and Holland, which have rational drug policy, each of those countries has 60% the drug use as that of the United States. That's on a per capita basis, but that's kids, that's adults, that's marijuana, and that's hard drugs. So, Kira, that kind of flies in the face of what you would think would be increased drug use. Portugal, 10 years ago, decriminalized all drug use because they had a heroin epidemic. And over the last 10 years, they've shown a 50% decrease in heroin use, having decriminalized heroin. What they're doing is they're looking at the problem first as a health issue rather than a criminal justice issue. Look, there have been millions of Americans that have gone to jail for drugs. There have been 100 million Americans who haven't gone to jail because of the same offenses but haven't been caught doing that. There's a real hypocrisy in our drug laws. They're very discriminatory. Half of what we spend on law enforcement, the courts, and the prisons is drug-related. And what are we getting for it? Well, we have 2.3 million people behind bars. We have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the world. When it comes to drugs, I'll just get back to the fact, half of what we spend on law enforcement, the courts, and the prisons is drug-related. Kira, it is never going to be legal to smoke pot, become impaired, get behind the wheel of a car, or do harm to others. It's never going to be legal for kids to smoke pot or buy pot. But the situation that we have today, right now, is that we're arresting and we're sending to jail people that sell small amounts of drugs on numerous occasions, and they're getting caught for that. This is much the same as prohibition of alcohol in the 20s. Who got rich in the 20s? Border violence with Mexico. Look, this is a prohibition phenomenon. Legalized marijuana and arguably 75% of the border violence with Mexico goes away because these are disputes that are being played out with guns rather than the courts.
Now for something completely different. Recant. Tell us what you know. Recant. We can make things go easy on you. Recant. Drugs are nothing but poison. Recant. You know what they'll do to you in prison. Recant. Dean Becker.